But as Brent was doing that devotional, I thought about some of the things I'd seen this week and listened to on the news networks. And one of the things that I heard from some of the survivors, and I'm certainly not being critical, I can understand why they asked the question. Some of them were believers who seemed to have their faith in Christ, and some were non-believers, or people who just believed there was a God, mostly those who believed there was a God. And I heard this stated, that something I've heard all my life: how can God let this happen? How can God let this happen? As though God were sitting there to thwart off all evil. There is something in human nature that tends to want to blame God for all things that happen that are tragic, and give him very little credit for things that are good. And even atheists who don't believe in God, when a tragedy like this happens, or an agnostic that can't make up his mind whether there's a God or not, they say, how could God let this happen? Well, I think the basic thing we have to understand is, and I'm going to do this from a religious standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, because I could stand up here and tell you about Osama bin Laden, give you his history. I've been tracking these terrorist groups for years. I could tell you about all the meetings they've had since last January, and how united they were for the first time in their history, and how they've been acting independently of one another until last January, and how they've gotten together now and cemented a relationship between one another where they're acting together as a unit, and how it's quite likely that bin Laden was able to secure the cream of the crop from each one of these different organizations: Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, Fatah, and Hezbollah. But I think it's much more important, rather than concentrating on the events of what have happened here recently, particularly Tuesday, to answer the question, how could God let something like this happen? Well, the origin goes a long way back. When God first made Adam and then Eve, God, for reasons best known to himself, decided not to make a creature who had his spirit in him, that he breathed in him, who was a robot, who would do everything that God said and had no choice, and every move that the man or woman made, he'd have no independent action on his own, and he was just a little robot that God operated spiritually as a spiritual robot, and could not sin and could not disobey God. God gave man a choice. And in giving man that choice, I heard one preacher say one time, he let loose a monster. I don't think the preacher meant that derogatorily. He just meant that even though God knew man would make the wrong choice, God knowing all things in advance, he wanted to create a race that could make a choice voluntarily of their own free will as to whether or not they wanted to follow God, if God was worth following, or if they independently wanted to break away from God and do their own thing. So God put in the Garden of Eden a tree of life. Had Adam and Eve decided to choose to eat of that tree of life, they would have forever been sealed in that choice, and only God knows what would have happened. We can speculate, we can guess, but we can't know. He also put in that garden another tree so man would have a choice: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If man chose the tree of life, then he voluntarily, of his own free will, chose God's way. And he would have been sealed in it. Like I say, I don't know what would have happened if that had happened. But God gave man this choice. So this other tree was the knowledge of good and evil. Well, up until that choice was made, they had no knowledge of what was evil. And you don't commit evil unless you know what's evil, because evil itself draws you to it, and it's of the devil. And they didn't know what evil was. But the devil said, go ahead and eat of this tree. The devil said, God doesn't want you to eat of this tree, because if you eat of this tree, you will have the knowledge of good and evil, and you will be as God himself. So man chose deliberately to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in so doing, for the first time, man came to understand evil and became able to perpetrate it and to carry it forward. So the people that say, how could God have allowed this? How could God do this? It's man that does it. It's not God. And it's the evil in the world that does it. You want to blame somebody in the spiritual world? Blame Satan. Blame Satan. You want to blame somebody in the physical world? Blame yourself. Because you were in Adam in the garden. I was in Marshall Abner McElmurray, who was in Henry Enoch McElmurray, who was in Abner McElmurray, who was in Andrew McElmurray, who was in Henry Enoch McElmurray, who was in Henry McElmurray. And you can take me all the way back to Adam. You want to blame somebody? Blame man. You want to blame somebody spiritual? Blame the devil. Well, man became evil. Now, why have we had all this turmoil? And why do we have a group of people over there right now who are Islamic fundamentalists that are fanatics, who believe that if they die in a cause for Allah, they will be ushered immediately into the presence of Allah by their prophet Muhammad, and they will have eternal security of the believer and be in paradise with Allah forever with many wives? You say, that's crazy. Why do we have people that believe that? Because Adam and Eve chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And since that time, that's what's caused all the trouble. Now let's just take it step by step. And this is something I thought of. I had a message here I was going to present on creation, but I think this is much more important. Because I'm explaining the terrorist acts and the things in a religious standpoint. That's what a church is. It's a place of Christianity. It's a place of discipleship. It's a place where we look at things from God angles. You're going to get to find out all about Osama bin Laden. You're going to find out about the Hamas leaders, the Fatah leaders, the Al-Jima Saim. You're going to find out the Islamic Jihad. You're going to find out about Hezbollah. They're going to give you a complete rundown of that. But they will not give you the Christian perspective. So what's caused all the problem? Well, what was the first problem? Well, the first problem that came out of this was a religious problem. It was a religious problem. This is a religious problem. The religious problem is what caused that tragedy. It's a religious problem. And it came from the Garden of Eden. Who was the first man to correctly worship God? Abel. Who was the first man to incorrectly worship God? Cain. What was their problem? It was a religious problem. Abel came and he worshiped God correctly. Cain came and he didn't. God said, hey, Cain, go and do it right and everything will be fine. Read the account. But Cain said, no, I want to do it my way. Why? Because the very nature he inherited came from the devil's temptation of Adam and Eve and the eating of the tree of the good of evil and knowledge. And Cain chose the wrong way. Over and over again, it's referred to in the Bible as the way of Cain. So what happened to Cain? Well, Cain went over into the east and undoubtedly married one of his sisters. And he propagated a race that was horrific. Oh, they worshiped God. After all, Cain knew there was a God. And they began to build large statues to him. And they began to worship these. And they began to worship incorrectly toward God. They were deeply religious. Now, don't think that the Islamic Jihad and Hamas and the followers of Osama bin Laden, don't think that they aren't religious. They're much more religious than we are. And they're much more dedicated than we are. So Cain's followers began to propagate a religion. Why did they do it? Because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not God's fault. So what happened? Well, Cain slew Abel. I'd call that a tragedy. As a matter of fact, he wiped out most of the world's population right there. So this tragedy in New York, as horrible as it is, with perhaps 5,000 people or more being killed, sure it's tragic, sure it's terrible, but consider the proportion of the world's population when Abel was slew by Cain. Listen, this problem is a religious problem. And it is a religious problem because of man's sin that has nothing to do with God's not stopping this. And I'm tired of listening to people say, why did God let this happen? We've had members of this church that when they lost a child, largely through their own incompetence, have blamed God for it. Why blame God? Because you have the knowledge of good and evil, which you inherited from your forefather Adam, and because I have it. So what happened to those descendants of Cain? Well, pretty soon the descendants of Abel, he died, and she had another son named Seth. They began to intermix and intermarriage with the descendants of Cain. And they produced a race of Nephilim. Many people say they were giants, but Nephilim are monstrosities. And they produced a spiritual monstrosity, a spiritually religious monstrosity. So what causes all this? Different religious beliefs. And what are those different religious beliefs based on? The tree of life, which is right, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is wrong, and both become deeply religious because the people that actually follow what they inherited from Adam through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are the very ones who are the extremists in the Islamic fundamentalist movement. So what happened when the descendants of Seth intermingled and married with the wives of the descendants of Cain and the descendants that came down, all of the daughters of men? They became an even more corrupt race, and God said, the whole earth is corrupt. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he wiped it all out. Started all over. Brought down Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives. Total of 8 people on the earth. Just one problem. Those 8 people had the same seed in them that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened? Well, they began to multiply and spread across the earth. And as they multiplied and spread across the earth, they began to worship idols. They began to make images to worship. They were their own gods. They would not worship an unseen God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They didn't diligently seek an invisible God who made them and their forefathers. They began to make images and fall down and worship them. Where did that come from? Well, it came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, how did it all end up? Finally, it had gotten so bad that the impregnation of that evil in man's soul that came from the original wrong choice in the Garden of Eden actually corrupted virtually the entire earth, and the only one left that God chose to come out and begin to worship him correctly was Abraham. And even Terah, Abraham's father, was an idolater. So don't blame God for any of this. This thing that happened in Pennsylvania, New York, and Washington is a religious thing. It is a spiritual thing. And it is based on the corruptness that man inherited in the Garden of Eden. So what happened then? Now we begin to get down to the real nitty-gritty. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Now Abraham had a choice. Abraham could either choose to wait and be patient, and Sarah, who was barren and could not bear children, could choose to believe God and to wait for the promised child that God gave. But they did not. What'd they do? They had a good idea. Where'd they get it? From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You say, Brother Michael Murray, you're stretching. I'm not stretching anything. This is just the way it happened. And it all started right there in the Garden of Eden, and most of the conflict and trouble and horror and terror that has occurred throughout the ages has been a religious thing. It's always been a religious thing. So what happened? Well, you had Abraham, and he had these offspring. Abraham wouldn't wait. They conceived this idea we'll do it on our own. And since they knew Sarah was barren, but Abraham wasn't, he could still have children, Sarah said, why don't you go into Hagar, get her pregnant, and then I can have him as my child. So Abraham went in to Hagar, a violation of God's rules. Where did that violation come from? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, Abraham and Sarah made a choice just as surely as Adam and Eve made a choice, and they chose to do it their way, not God's way. They were religious. Don't think they weren't religious. They were, but they made the wrong choice. And so along came Ishmael. And Ishmael was not God's choice. And Ishmael began to chide finally when God did send them the son that they wouldn't wait for. And he sent them Isaac. Ishmael began to chide him and make fun of him. Two religious figures. Listen, Ishmael is very religious. He was a very religious man. And his mother was religious. And so they violated God's plan. And finally, Ishmael was sent away. And Ishmael is the father of the religion that you call today Muslim or Islamic. It came down from him. Those people in that are the descendants of Ishmael. Well, what happened then? Well, good old Lot, he got away from Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife didn't. But his two daughters decided, we can't leave Lot without children. And his two daughters got him drunk so they could have sex with him and he could make them pregnant. You say, that's horrible. Yeah, I know it's horrible. It's horrible because it came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was a choice that they made. So what happened? They had two sons, illegitimate sons, Moab and Ammon. Do you know the descendants of Moab are all Muslim? They are all Islamic. Do you know that the descendants of Ammon are all Islamic? Did you know that they're all Muslim? This is a religious thing. And then along after that, Abraham wasn't satisfied with just having the promised child of God. After they had messed it up with Ishmael and created another religion and another set of problems, Abraham went out and had relations and took Keturah as his wife, and Keturah had six sons. You know where those sons went? He sent them right over into Persia, into Iran, and to Iraq in the east. And do you know what they are today? Muslims, Shiite Muslims. The Shiite Muslim faith right now, if you want to put it in a nutshell, consists of the descendants of Ishmael, Moab, Ammon, and the six sons of Abraham through Keturah. That's where it came from. So don't blame God for any of this. God had nothing to do with it. God tried to do what was right, and man kept tampering with it. You know what all this problem we have right now, the biggest problem on this earth? It's not the Catholic faith. It's not these Protestant beliefs. It's not these off-the-wall religions. It's the Islamic faith. There are 600 million of them. And it all started way back there because of man's sin. Osama bin Laden and all those terrorist groups, they are descendants of Ishmael, of Moab and Ammon, and the descendants of the six sons of Keturah. And they are deeply religious. And they are fanatics. They would never have run into that building if they didn't have a religious reason. And where did the religious reason come from? From the devil, not God. Blame the devil. And if you got to blame somebody, blame Adam and Eve. Because that's what we all inherited. And all this problem that we have in the world today is a religious problem. What about this thing President Clinton kept trying to solve over there in Ireland? What was it between the Protestants in Northern Ireland and the Catholics? And they killed each other for it. This is a religious thing. And it's because of false teaching. Where did all the false teaching come from? From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, we got a problem here, and it's not going to go away. And these Shiite Muslims, these fundamentalists, are real and they are genuine, and they are the ungodly descendants and religious fanatics that came out of everything that was contrary to what God told man to do. Abraham just had to have a son, and he and Sarah planned it, mostly Sarah. And Abraham just had to go over and produce 6 more sons out of Keturah. And the 2 daughters of Lot just had to get him drunk so they could have sex with him so they could perpetrate the line. It wasn't that they wanted to have sex with their dad. They were afraid that the line would be broken. What was that all about? God wanted the line to continue, and they wanted to help God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got ourselves in an awful pickle. And the only one who's going to end this mess and bring it to a successful conclusion is Jesus Christ. You can't bring peace to the Mideast. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you, because I think once I tell you, you'll see the wisdom in it. This is a religious problem. It's what goes on inside a man's soul. It's not going to go away. So I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen, and you wait and see if it doesn't. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to find out who did this, and rightly so. And we're going to avenge what happened, and we should. And we're going to find justice. Osama bin Laden will either be captured, commit suicide, destroyed, or killed. We'll root it out. We'll find the perpetrators. We'll get this all settled. And then does that end the problem? No, that by no means ends the problem. What's the problem? Israel. God said Israel would be a trembling stone to all nations. Who are the Israelites? The descendants of Isaac and Jacob. And they have become a stone of trembling to the whole world. You say, well, how's that a religious problem? They're Jews. What are we? Christians. What are the Arabs, Muslims, Islamics? The 3 centers of the monotheistic faith of one God are Jews, who are in Jerusalem, Muslims, who are in Jerusalem, and Christians, who are in Jerusalem, and it's 3 different religions. There's no solution to this problem except the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to get our vengeance. I'm not opposed to that. I think we should. I think we ought to wreak justice, because I think those people need to be caught, and they need to be killed, they need to be executed, and justice needs to prevail. So I don't have any problem with that. I think that's great. But after you catch Osama bin Laden, and after you get all these people, and after you have your day in court, and after justice prevails, which I think it should, and I'm not opposed, I think it's great, then what? You've still got terrorism. How do you eliminate terrorism? There are only 2 ways. You cannot eliminate terrorism except by 2 things, 2 ways, and they're the only way you'll ever eliminate it. Number 1, go over there and kill every Islamic fundamentalist in North Africa, across the Mideast, all the way down into India and Malaysia. Kill them all. It'll take a while, but kill them all. Can it be done? No. Will it be done? No. Should it be done? No. Well, that leaves me with only one alternative, and this is the only way you'll end terrorism. Peace in the Mideast. Why did Osama bin Laden and the other terrorist group work together on this? Why is this an Islamic fundamentalist problem? Forget Osama bin Laden. Forget the leaders of the terrorist party. Forget the heads of them. This is an Islamic fundamentalist attack. Why did they attack? Because we support Israel. Did not God say that Israel in the last days, there'd be perilous times? And did he not say that Israel would become a trembling stone to all nations? And why did this attack occur? Because we support Israel. Now, had Hamas done all of it, or the Islamic Jihad, or Hezbollah, or Fatah, had any one of these organizations done it, it would have been done completely, 100%, for the reason that we support Israel. But since Osama bin Laden is involved, I would say 90% of the reason for this attack was because we support Israel. But the other 10% is he hates capitalism. He despised capitalists. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a very rich man. He has tremendous wealth. Not only did he inherit it, not only does he have it personally, but he gets all kind of money fed into him from all these different Arab organizations and these different Arabic countries. So how do you eliminate terrorism? The same Bible that told us Israel, Jerusalem, would become a trembling stone to all nations is the same God who indicated there would come a period of peace. That's the only way you're going to end terrorism. Okay, as much as I was opposed to Bill Clinton, he's just not my kind of guy. The one thing he did do, regardless of what his motives were, I don't care what his motives were. He wanted to make a name for himself and have a lot of other things, but I'm not sure of those motives. All I can tell you is that what he was doing, I agreed with. He tried to make peace in the Mideast. When Bush got in, and I admire Bush, he's a wonderful president, I support him 100%, he's my commander-in-chief, and I'm all for what he's doing. I think it's right, and I applaud him. Not that he needs my applause, but I'm with him 100%. But what was it that Bush did when he got in office? Bush got so tied up with the domestic situation, and rightly so. I'm not blaming anybody, that's just what happened. That we stopped trying to promote peace in the Mideast. And we made it very clear that we were for Israel, but we wouldn't get over there and root hog in it. Can you bring a real and lasting peace to the Mideast? Absolutely not. You cannot bring a real, genuine, lasting peace to the Mideast. But what did the Bible say? It indicates that Jerusalem, Israel, would become a trembling stone, a dangerous stone, a threatening stone to all the nations. That's what she is right now. And our support for Israel is what caused that attack up there. Am I blaming Israel? No! There are three groups involved here, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Three religions. This is a religious thing. So what will happen? Well, they know they can't wipe out all the Islamic faith. Our economy is in a very delicate balance. What is it going to take to cut down terrorism? You can't stop it. What's it going to take to cut it down? Well, you triple your security efforts at the airports, make it almost impossible to get on a plane, make people wait in long lines, and that's fine. I'm all for that. I'm not opposing it. I mean, that's great. Do it. You're going to have to do it. How much money is that going to cost? Billions and billions and billions of dollars. This economy is in a very delicate position. All the politicians in Washington know it. Now, we're all patriotic, but we're all human beings. And politicians are interested in being reelected. That's why they're politicians. They don't want this economy to go down. We can't afford what we're doing. And if it were just the increased security that we're going to have to pay for, I'm just saying this is a reality. We should have an increase in security. I'm all for it. I don't mean to imply I'm against it. I'm all for it. We can't afford it. But we've got to do it. What about the services? Man, once these planes got in and hit that building, it suddenly became aware that we need some kind of a sheltering umbrella over this country. How much will that cost? How much will the heightened military awareness cost? How much is it going to cost that we have to put out in all this military activity? Listen, these terrorists just didn't want to destroy that building. They want us to go bankrupt. They're not fools. We can't afford it. So where does that leave us? We've got to stop the terrorism. How do we do it? We get over there and start promoting peace. We start putting pressure on Israel to negotiate. We start desperately trying to find ways to bring a peace to the Mideast. Will it be genuine? Will it be a legitimate peace? Will it be a lasting peace? No. Are we going to have more terrorism? Yeah. But let me tell you that within the next year, gradually and slowly over a long period of time, out of this terrible tragedy for which I bear great grief in my heart for those who lost loved ones and for those who paid with their lives, and I applaud their heroism, and I'm an American, and this has made me aware once again of my need to stand up for my country. I'm a very patriotic man. I believe in patriotism. I believe in this country. But I'm also a realist. We can't afford this. And so what's going to happen? We're going to work very hard for peace. If a peace is negotiated between Syria and the Palestinians and Israel, I believe that the other Arab countries will say, okay, let's lay back, call off our terrorists, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, let's call them off, and Fatah, call them off, and let's hold them back, and let's stop this terrorist activity just long enough to give the United States, the free world, and Israel a sense of false security. And then when we have got it to the point where they have this false security during this time of false peace, then wham, we'll come against Israel. They'll come down from the north, and before we can get troops over there, they will already have driven down to Jerusalem within 2 days, and they will have driven Israel out of the land from Dan to Beersheba. What is Israel? Well, what do the Israelites say it is? They say Israel is the land from Dan to Beersheba. And yet, over a third of Israel is from Beersheba Shopper. That's where Israel's going. So this tragedy that they've had in the Northeast, in Pennsylvania, in Washington, D.C., and in New York itself, this is the prelude, this terrible tragedy, this great horror, that will eventually, down the road, lead to a peaceful settlement in Israel. Now, no one can predict how long something like this takes, and I'm not hedging with you. I just don't know. My guess is, my estimate is, that by next November, not this coming November, but by the November of next year, you will see a settlement reached between Syria and between Israel and the Palestinians. It'll probably be negotiated at the same time with all three. But I'm not sure of that. But I'm sure we're going to have peace in the Middle East. You say, well, Brother McMurray, how do you know this has to happen? The Bible says it has to happen. It's going to happen. And I think this is the prelude to it. I think we need to pray for our country. I think we need, every time we open our mouth to, when we normally pray at night, most people pray before they go to bed or when they're in bed. I usually pray before I go to bed. And every night we need to pray for our leaders of this country. The Bible indicates we should. We need to pray for the submission of our leaders to the will of God. We need to pray for our country's submission to the will of God. You say, well, I don't think it's going to happen. Go ahead and pray for it anyway. And we need to pray that we ourselves, as God's children in His local churches, will stand up for the truth. Do you know what we are? We're religious. There's false religion and there's true religion. Some people say, we're not religious. Yes, we are, because there's two kinds of religion, false religion and true religion. We always claim that we have the truth. We claim that we're God's people. Well, if what we claim is true, and His local churches are where His disciples do His work, then our God will listen to us and pray that God's will be done, and pray that He'll give us wisdom and understanding and discernment in His word, and the physical and spiritual strength to stand up against the wiles of the devil. People, I've heard him say many times, I guess I've heard this all my life, why did God allow this? Why did God do this? If you want to use that expression, I wish you'd change it. Why did the devil do this? Why did man do this? The devil did it because he's evil. That's one of the most evil acts that's ever been consummated. I think it's even more evil than Pearl Harbor. It's absolute sheer evil. And it's based on a Muslim faith, Islamic, killing a bunch of people that are of a different faith and order that support Israel. It's ungodly. We need to pray for Israel. But I think more than anything else, we need to pray for our submission to God's will in our lives and hearts. Because we're the last bastion of truth on this earth. And every time something comes up in our hearts and in our lives where we become irritated toward one another, we don't like a particular message, we don't like a particular way that another person in the church acts, we don't like a particular thing about this, we ought to just can it. Ask God to forgive us. And if we think this person is really guilty of some offense, pray for him. I pray for her. We need to draw together. We're going to need each other desperately. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been here now 28 years, and I told you when I came here that I thought this would not pass the year 2008. I told you several weeks ago that we're going to face some of the most dramatic and fast-changing situations the world has ever seen. I said it repeatedly. This is one of them. Did I expect this? No. I didn't think they were that well coordinated. I knew last January all the terrorist groups got together. I knew that. And I knew they were coordinating. And I knew for the first time they were working together against, instead of against each other. See, up until last January, every time the Fatah would do something, they'd say, look what we did to Hamas. And Hamas would say, okay, watch this. And Hamas would go and do something else. They didn't work together. But since January, they've had at least three meetings, and the major one was in a couple of times in Tehran, in Iraq. I'm sorry, in Iran, at Tehran, the capital. And they're getting together. And so, did I expect this? No. I had no conception that this master plan could be instituted with such efficiency. Listen, those planes knew what they were doing. Remember when they tried to take the World Trade Building and blow it up in the basement? See, this is the second attempt. And what they intended to do the first time, they thought if they blew up the underpinning, the charges, I understand, were placed there in such a way that it would cause one of them to fall, the building fall over and hit the other. Didn't work. Well, what did they do? Well, they got them some structural architects that were experts, and they figured out if you hit the things in the upper tower, that the weight will actually come down and collapse, just like these crews that go around and destroy buildings. That's exactly what that looked like. They knew what they were doing. I had no idea it would be this large. And I really don't think the terrorist had an idea it would be this large. But this has awakened America. And it's time that we woke up. It's time we started fighting for things that are good. We're supposed to be those who have partaken of the tree of God. We're supposed to have taken of the tree of life. We're not supposed to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So at least out of this tragedy, it's drawn America together. And I'm thankful for that. But in the history of the world, all of these great tragedies, if you go back and check them, it's always been because man would not follow God. Man would not choose God's way. Don't blame God. Blame man or blame the devil. And we'll take a short break.